Welcome to the Dr. John Day Show, a cardiologist's guide to real food, real living, and real happiness. Are you struggling with losing weight, fatigue, depression, or conditions that have you on medications? Is your health good, but heart disease or cancer run in your family? Most medical conditions are reversible or preventable. There is a better way to live. Let Dr. Day help you to feel younger today.
Hi, welcome to the Dr. John Day Show. I am Dr. John Day, and today our topic is 9 signs you may have vitamin K2 deficiency. Before we jump in, the usual 3 things we like to cover. Number 1, this show provides general information, not medical advice. Number 2, listening to the show does not create a doctor-patient relationship. And number 3, do not self-diagnose or treat based on anything you hear on the show. So let's now jump in to 9 signs that you may have a vitamin K2 deficiency. Vitamin K2 is so critical to our health, it is alarming that most of us have never heard of this life-saving vitamin. What we have heard of, though, is vitamin K, or what's also known as vitamin K1. Vitamin K1 is important in blood clotting, and we get our vitamin K1 from green leafy vegetables. Vitamin K2, though, puts calcium where it belongs in your body, such as your bones, and it keeps calcium plaques from building in your brain, your heart, arteries, or other places where it can cause premature aging and early death. It has been traditionally believed that we did not need to worry about vitamin K2 as our bodies made everything we needed from vitamin K1. Recent research suggests that this may not be the case and that many of us in Western countries may be deficient not only in vitamin K1, but vitamin K2 as well. While there still are no official government recommendations on the daily intake of vitamin K2, I will discuss 9 signs that you may be deficient in vitamin K2 and what we must do to get enough vitamin K2 in our diets to minimize our risk of heart disease, Alzheimer's disease, osteoporosis, and dental cavities. So let me take you on my journey with vitamin K2 deficiency. Unfortunately, I never learned of vitamin K2 during my medical school days at Johns Hopkins, or for that matter, during my residency in cardiology training at Stanford University. As a cardiologist treating atrial fibrillation, which is a deadly heart rhythm abnormality, our goal was to block the effects of vitamin K1 and to thin the blood. During all this time, I continued to have more and more dental cavities. I used to regularly prescribe Coumadin, which is also known as warfarin. While this medicine is effective at preventing blood clots and strokes from atrial fibrillation, it also caused vitamin K deficiencies for my patients. It should be pointed out that this medication is still recommended as part of the latest guidelines for physicians treating patients with atrial fibrillation. Also, as a side note, for those of you who may have had mice or rat problems, Coumadin or warfarin is also used as rat poison. Basically, you give the rat an overdose of Coumadin or warfarin, which blocks all vitamin K in the body, and they bleed to death. But that's just a side note. Also, in my previous life, I did not care for the taste of foods high in vitamin K1, like spinach or kale. I also hated the smell and taste of fermented foods, which many of which also have vitamin K2. I still don't especially like spinach, kale, or fermented foods. However, now that I realize how important these foods are for our health, I make it a point to eat kale or spinach on most days and periodically eat natto. Natto is the Japanese form of the incredibly healthy fermented soybeans, which really is off the chart in vitamin K2. In case you were wondering what natto looks like, if you go on to my website on this blog article, there is a picture of natto. So, could you have a vitamin K deficiency? Many experts feel that the current recommended dose of vitamin K1 is really too low to prevent disease. The current government recommendations for vitamin K1 are just 90 micrograms per day, which means that you can get 10 times this amount in just one cup of cooked kale or spinach. Despite how easy it is to get this bare minimum amount of vitamin K, according to the WH Foods organization, most Americans are not even getting 90 micrograms daily. In fact, over the last 50 years, Americans have been eating less and less vitamin K-rich foods. Even if you take a multivitamin, you are not getting vitamin K2, as multivitamins only contain vitamin K1. Unfortunately, we do not yet have a good test to evaluate whether your body can make enough vitamin K2 from vitamin K1. Likewise, we also do not have a good test to see if your vitamin K2 levels are adequate. Thus, let me share 9 possible signs that you may be deficient in vitamin K2. So, 9 signs you may have vitamin K2 deficiency. Number 1, you bruise or bleed easily. Vitamin K was named K after the German word coagulation, which is spelled with a K. In 1929, after initial discoveries of this vitamin were shown to play a role in blood clotting. If you are deficient in vitamin K1, you will bruise or bleed easily. Also, vitamin K1 deficiencies lead to vitamin K2 deficiencies, as K1 is converted to K2, either by the body or bacteria in our guts. Number 2, you have been diagnosed with osteoporosis, low bone mineral density, or have a broken bone. Many studies have linked low K vitamins in the diet to a higher risk of low bone mass, osteoporosis, and fracture risk. Vitamin K2 is especially important for normal osteocalcin function. Osteocalcin is a protein critical for healthy bones and teeth. Probably the most important role of vitamin K2 is to put calcium into our bones, where it belongs, and keep it out of our heart, brain, and arteries. Indeed, this could help to explain why the risk of bone fractures are so much lower in Japan and China, despite the fact that most Japanese and Chinese do not eat calcium-loaded dairy products like we do here in the West. In Japan and China, their diets are very high in green leafy vegetables and fermented soy, such as natto, tempeh, and miso. Fermented soy has the highest known levels of vitamin K2 of any food. Number 3, you have had dental cavities. Vitamin K2, through its effects on osteocalcin, not only strengthens our bones, but our teeth as well. This could explain why many isolated cultures which eat a healthy diet, which is high in the K vitamins, like China's longevity village, can avoid dental disease despite not regularly brushing or flossing. Indeed, in the Bama County Centenarian Study, 55% of the centenarians still had all of their teeth despite never brushing. Number 4, you have had a heart attack or been diagnosed with coronary artery disease. Vitamin K2 may be one of the most overlooked strategies to decrease our risk of heart disease. Based on the Rotterdam study of 4,807 people, those with the highest dietary intake of vitamin K2 had a 57% lower risk of heart disease. Number 5, you have calcium in the arteries of your heart or a heart valve. It has been well known that when we are deficient in K vitamins, we develop calcium plaques, not only in our heart, but throughout our body. This plaque buildup can restrict blood flow and prematurely age us. Number 6, you have been diagnosed with diabetes or prediabetes. Through complex mechanisms that we are just starting to understand, vitamin K plays a key role in glucose metabolism. Indeed, getting adequate levels of K vitamins have been shown to decrease your risk of diabetes by up to 51%. Number 7, you have an autoimmune disease. The K vitamins may also play a role in the prevention and reversal of autoimmune diseases. One study even showed that not only did vitamin K2 improve osteoporosis in people suffering from rheumatoid arthritis, but that it also helped to put rheumatoid arthritis into remission. Number 8, you are becoming forgetful. Low vitamin K intake is now linked to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Although the reason for this has not yet been worked out, it likely has to do with the role of vitamin K in preventing calcium buildup within the brain. Thus, getting enough vitamin K2 can put calcium back into our bones where it is most needed and out of our brain, heart, and arteries. Number 9, you have just finished a course of antibiotics. Antibiotics wipe out healthy gut bacteria, especially the vitamin K1 and K2 producing gut bacteria. If you have recently been on antibiotics, you will likely need to significantly increase your intake of vitamin K foods until the healthy gut flora can again be restored. So, let's now talk about natural sources of vitamin K1 to be converted to K2. The first step in getting enough vitamin K2 is to ensure that you are taking the right amount of vitamin K1 to be converted to K2. This conversion takes place both by the body and by our gut flora. The best sources of K1 include the green leafy vegetables. Of these, kale and spinach are the highest, with 10 times the daily recommended allowance with just one cup of cooked kale or spinach. Even one cup of cooked broccoli has more than twice the recommended daily allowance of vitamin K. All of the green leafy vegetables are loaded with vitamin K1. So let's now jump into natural sources of vitamin K2. Getting vitamin K2 can be a bit more challenging. Fermented foods like fermented soybeans, sauerkraut, and certain cheeses can all be good sources of K2. Even though yogurt and kefir are fermented foods, it is the wrong bacteria for vitamin K2. The same goes for most cheeses. However, some cheeses like Gouda and Brie are very good sources of K2. Other good sources of K2 include liver and grass-fed chicken eggs. Of all these sources, nothing even comes close to the amount of vitamin K2 found in natto or fermented soybeans. Indeed, one serving of natto has at least enough vitamin K2 for an entire week. Not only is it loaded with vitamin K2, but this fermented food will also help to restore a healthy gut flora. While natto is eaten commonly in Asia, it is a taste most Westerners have found difficult to accept. I have started eating natto and order mine through Amazon. I have an affiliate link to this product if you'd like to give it a try. Just go on to my website, drjohnday.com, and click on the blog article regarding this topic, vitamin K2. If you are brave enough to try natto, please drop me a line and let me know what you think of it. I'd love to hear. If you want to see how much vitamin K is in the foods we've talked about, as well as other foods, once again, the links are in this blog article on my website. So a question now comes up, can you get too much vitamin K? Fortunately, I could not find any reported cases of vitamin K toxicity when it comes from natural food sources like green leafy vegetables. Unlike the other fat-soluble vitamins, very little of vitamin K is stored, so toxicity is not a problem. Of course, if you are taking supplements, it is always possible to experience vitamin K toxicity. If you have any questions about this, once again, please check with your doctor. Let's talk now about vitamin K2 in China's Longevity Village. In Bama County, China, which is home to China's Longevity Village, heart disease and osteoporosis are very rare. People there also keep all of their teeth despite not regularly brushing. For example, from the Bama County Centenarian Study, heart disease was seen in just 4% of the centenarians. So, how can you live to be 100 plus without the usual signs of aging? Among the many possibilities that we have explored in other podcast topics, it is possible that the anti-aging K vitamins may also play a role. In Bama, wild greens, which are high in vitamin K1, are eaten with every meal, including breakfast. This ensures that they have more than enough vitamin K1 to be converted to vitamin K2. Also, while they did not historically eat much animal meat, when they did, they ate the whole animal, including the liver. which is high in vitamin K2. Lastly, the Chinese version of natto, or fermented soy, was also frequently eaten. So our last question to explore is, should I take vitamin K supplements? You may be wondering, can't I just get all of the vitamin K1 and K2 I need from supplements? It sure would make life a lot easier. Well, unfortunately, good long-term health does not come in the form of a supplement. The same is true with the K vitamins. While many studies have shown that diets high in real foods that contain vitamin K1 and K2 can prevent disease, taking K1 or K2 supplements have shown mixed results. The problem is that there are literally thousands of different molecules in fruits, vegetables, and other real foods. Arbitrarily isolating one of these molecules in a lab and then putting them inside of a pill cannot replicate the way the thousands of different molecules in food interact with our bodies. Food literally is information for our DNA. This cannot be replicated with a pill. My suggestion is to get all of the K vitamins your body needs from real foods, not supplements. Of course, if you are taking warfarin, which is also known as Coumadin, or have other health issues, you should discuss a diet high in K vitamins with your physician first before embarking down this path. So, my final question to you is, are you getting enough K vitamins in your diet? I'd love to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts and comments. You can leave a response on our website. Love to hear from you. Also, please rate this on iTunes. The more reviews we get helps to raise the awareness so that others can find these important messages as well.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. John Day Show. Now is the time for you to live better. Go to drjohnday.com to sign up for Dr. Day's newsletter, daily success tools, and more. It's never too late to change.